to everybody the Not So Late Late Show. Man, this time change has really got me messed up. It's, you know, normally supposed to be 9 o'clock right now. It's almost my bedtime. So we're going to try and make it through the hour. I think I have on the phone with me Mr. Rob DeVore.
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
I am fantastic. Got a chance to do some scouting the last couple of days. Not fishing, just scouting. And the wind has been absolutely howling over here on the Space Coast of Florida. It's been nonstop, blowing at probably 15 to 20 knots every day coming out of the east, northeast, north, west, every direction possible. So it's been kind of miserable. But I hear that there might be a small break in the wind here coming up shortly. So I need to be ready. The Mosquito Lagoon is clearing up. Visibility has been really, really good. Lots of tailing fish out there for guys that are finding wind protection. Rob's falling down. And there's...
What?
It sounded like you fell down, man.
No. It's my hands-free mic.
Sweet. But anyhow, so yeah, so there you go. Tonight we're gonna pretty much just talk about whatever. I don't really have a whole lot of things lined up. I've got, I believe Mark Lozier's gonna call me, and we're gonna talk a little bit about Marsh Works and some other things, and you know, we'll just kind of play it by ear and just go with it. So, Rob, did you get to do any fishing this past weekend?
Nope. No fishing for me, man. I had to take a weekend off. Not only was my fishing buddy, it was his wife's birthday, so that kind of puts the ixnay on fishing. But it was really windy over here, too, so got to take a day off once in a while, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and you've actually got, what, 4-day weekends this whole month?
Yeah, I got 4-day weekends all month long, so I'm good. I got plenty of time to go fishing, but you know, other stuff to do, and you know, I'm definitely planning on it next weekend.
Very cool, very cool. Do you have any special plans of what you're going to go try and do, or areas you're going to try and fish, or you're just going to kind of wing it?
Yeah, actually, we're going down by the Skyway, and
nice.
There's a chance that we might be grouper digging.
Really?
But it's all dependent on the weather.
Very cool.
If you get down by the shipping channel, you can get out there and get on some grouper this time of year.
Yeah, I've done I've trolled over there before for grouper, but I've never done it from a kayak. I've always been in a boat doing it. That's pretty awesome. Hey, are those big tarpon in there this time of year?
You know, there's resident tarpon in that area, so it's always possible. But that's not what I'm targeting. It's not, you know, if we go down there, either one of two things, either we'll hit the grass flats between Fort DeSoto and the Skyway, or just get on out to the channel there and see if we can, not, you know, right in the channel, but near the channel. There's some nice riprap in about 30, 40 feet of water right there that hold a lot of grouper.
Very cool.
You know, when the weather cools down and everything, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I got a caller on the line, 757 area code.
Hey, it's Lozier.
Lozier.
What's
like deja vu,
on?
Buddy. I feel like I just talked to you.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, it's strange. How's it going in your neck of the woods today, bud?
It's going good. Back to work, watching that wind blow. It's a bad part about working in a house that's right on the ocean. I've been watching that blow for the last 7 days, it seems like, so... Doesn't get you too motivated to run out there and do anything.
Yeah, it's been pretty miserable here, man.
Yeah.
But before the show started, me and Mark were talking about all the different things that he's involved in, the different pro staffs and such, and one of them being the soft plastic / spinnerbait company / popping cork, everything you'll ever need ever for inshore fishing / Marsh Works, right? I pronounce that right, right? It's Marsh Works.
You're right, yeah, Marsh Works.
And, yeah, pretty pumped about what you guys got going on over there. You want to give us a little insight? I know that you've spoken about it before on one of the shows. I believe it was Rob's show, as we discussed earlier. But go ahead and just tell everybody listening, and those who are going to be listening to the podcast, a little bit about what Marsh Works is all about.
Yeah, Marsh Works basically is a one of the greatest things, and one of the reasons I got affiliated with them. We're 100% American-made tackle company. Everything's made right here in the good old USA in Mississippi, and we have a couple of little outsourced shops in Tennessee that do some of our pours and stuff for us. All hand-poured on our plastics. A lot of original colors, a lot of colors you won't see anywhere else. All of our hooks and we use Mustad on all of our hooks, and once again, everything's poured right in a little shop in Mississippi, all of our jig heads. Started out as a bunch of guys who actually tournament fished, and like a lot of guys, you know, they got tired of saying, man, this stuff, I'm losing fish, or it's not working for me if I have this color or that color, and taking a Sharpie on the water. So they just got in a shop and started definitely making up, you know, what they thought would work out there, and it has. Just real quick on a side note, this past weekend was the IFA Championships in Louisiana, and one of our teams, who was from North Carolina, Chasing Tails, they placed 10th in the event using our lures. And 10th, a lot of people say, well, that's not really, but there was a 1 pound difference between first place and 10th place in that event. So,
wow.
I was following them all weekend, and it was kind of funny because on day one, they were in 33rd. And there was a 2 pound separation between first and 33rd. And then on the final day, like I said, they took 10th place, and there was exactly, I don't remember the exact weight now, but it was exactly a 1 pound difference between first place and themselves. So, and there was all around 18 inch two fish limit down there. So, I mean, 18 pounds, excuse me. So, but anyway, that was just a little sidebar about our products. So what I was getting at is we have a lot of guys out there on the circuits now that use our product and do very well with it. So it holds up well. As I was telling you earlier, everything they design to make is made for the Louisiana marsh, and anybody who's fished down there knows that anytime you catch a red, you also catch about 20 pounds of grass. So you need some sturdy gear. Our bends on our spinner baits is, and I told you that earlier, I can't quote you the size, the gauge, or the wire, but it's definitely the heaviest, strongest out there. The finishes are all double finished on the gold, so they don't rust up and scratch up like a lot of other ones do. It's great stuff. I mean, if you give it a chance, you know, give it a try. Anybody out there, I think you'd be happy with it. I really have never heard. And I ask. I mean, that was one of my biggest things. You and I were talking earlier. I've been in the tackle business for years, working on the other side of the counter, telling consumers why they needed to buy something. But as far as telling another tackle shop owner why he needed more plastic in his store is kind of hard when you go around trying to sell somebody on a new product. You know, they look at it, it's all the same to them. You know, they don't really see the effects unless they fish it. So that's kind of how I got a lot of my products sold and put into stores, is I literally went to guys on the water that were fishing that I knew in my area. Mr. Choi right there is on the screen. He helped me a lot in his area, and I just gave him some stuff to look, go out and try it. If you like it, if it works, just do me a favor and go back to your local shop and say, hey, why aren't you carrying this? And
yeah,
that's kind of where my phone started ringing, like, hey, we heard you're selling this MarshWorks stuff, and we got customers in here looking for it. And it worked for them, you know. And if it doesn't work, by all means, call me back and tell me. I don't like it. Why don't you like it? Because that's the other thing, Chris and the boys down there, we're trying to make it better. We're in 21 Academy stores throughout the Gulf and Florida. That's our biggest box chain. And the other thing is, on a side thing, with you would understand this the best, is we're not in any of the major wholesalers like Henry's or anything like that.
Right.
So it makes it very appealing to tackle shops and other guys like that, because you're going to deal directly with us. You're not going to go through some middle company and things like that. We try to keep that with all of our tackle shops. You call me, I take care of you. I try to get you your stuff. You need something faster or you need something changed, We've done crazy orders for people and, you know, things they wanted in a bag or whatever. So, and a little more of the product line, we also make popping corks, three different styles of popping corks, jerk shads, and we make a 4-inch thumper. Our thumper is our paddle tail, like a Bass Assassin is the easiest thing to compare it to. We make a 3-inch, a 4-inch, And then my favorite is the Killa Squilla. Everybody laughs about it. It's basically Latin squilla for shrimp. So it's a shrimp bait. And I probably had the most success with speckled trout on that lure than I ever have on any other soft plastic I've used in quite some time.
Well, man, it looks like you guys have the color combinations kind of locked up, man, as far as what everybody's favorite seems to have been the last couple of years. And that's coming from the retail side of things, knowing what I sell the most of. So that's awesome. Yeah, the Killa Squilla, it's pretty cool looking shrimp, man. It's got a big old tail on it. I'm looking at the website right now. So, guys, check it out. It's marsh-works.com is their website. And you can order their stuff direct off the website as well. And it's a good price for the shrimp. I mean, you got $3.99 on the website for a pack of eight, which is, it's a lot cheaper than some of the other companies. And looks pretty interesting. I know that Thumper, man, is like, for those of you that listen to the show, you know that I'm like really kind of out there when it comes to paddle tails. It's my thing. Kind of a weird love relationship with paddle tails. And that's a good looking bait, man. And all the colors that you have there are definitely fish catching colors. Rob, have you used any of the MarshWorks stuff?
I have not. But I'm, I'll look at them. I would definitely check them out. Do you carry them at handlers?
No, we don't actually carry them at handlers, and I'll tell you why, honestly. One of the things with us is that we have a real small store, and space is kind of a premium, and it's easy for me to sell somebody on something if I tell them to buy it. However, it's tough sometimes to get the product in if we haven't gotten any word on it, like if no one's come in and really asked for it. And I'm not saying that that's a knock on MarshWorks at all, because it's not. As Mark was saying, it's a small company, and it's run by fishermen, and they're not in the big chains as far as the Henrys and the Folsoms and those kinds. And sometimes it gets tough for saturation, or it takes a little while for saturation to take effect when it comes to getting the distribution out to all the different shops. But again, with that being said, I don't know of any of the stores that are here in Brevard County that I've seen, maybe with the exception of Strike Zone down in Melbourne. I think Strike Zone in Melbourne's carrying them, but I don't know of any others off the top of my head that have them. I can assure you one thing: I'm going to try them, and once I do, if I like them, then we're definitely going to have them. Excuse me, for sale at Handler Fishing Supply, but
well, you know how you have how you like, you know, paddle tails or shad tails or whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a thing for curly tails, man. That's my thing. You know, I don't know. You know, for some reason, I just feel really comfortable using those and confident.
Yeah.
And you all know that confidence is half the battle.
Yeah. Well, and you know what else, man? Something that I hadn't done until probably about 2 years ago was throw spinnerbait style baits in the river and up in the Mosquito Lagoon for redfish. Actually, the first spoon/spinner thing that I ever had any real success with was not to switch brands here, but was the Z-Man, what do they call it, the chatterbait?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was throwing a chatterbait one day on a school of really finicky redfish, and I couldn't get them to eat nothing. And I don't know if it's the chatter or if it's just the flash or what it was, but my God, man, fish just jumped all over it. So I've got a tackle box at my house that was slapped full of bass stuff from when I was a kid, and a lot of spinners in there. And I just started converting the spinner baits over to saltwater stuff, throwing trailers on them, just the typical things that we would use for redfish and stuff. And it does work. It does work. In fact, I'd rather throw a spinner bait than throw a spoon, to be honest with you. I think
it's a great search tool too. If you don't know, I don't know what it's like, and we talked about it. So I don't know your waters like I do mine, but we don't fish in that gin clear. We don't have tailing fish, so spinner baits are always great to throw. If you feel pretty good to fish in the area, but you're not sure, that spinner bait will help you cover a lot of water. Plus that vibration, like you just mentioned, that just hits their lateral line like a knock on the chest, and they just, you know, hey, something's in the water. I want to go check it out. And I think that's what does it.
Well, what's funny is, go ahead, Rob.
Do you feel that you have you know, more action on like a Colorado blade or on a willow leaf?
All of ours are on a modified kind of Colorado blade. And, I'm not a bass guy, and you hear that talk a lot. A lot of people say that, you know, this blade, that blade, and it's different water conditions and all. I can't answer that question, honestly. But the Colorado blade that we use, like I said, it's kind of a modified. I wouldn't call it exactly a Colorado, but it's definitely not like a willow style. I don't know. I would think that the Colorado, just looking at it from the perspective of the shape of it, probably makes more of a thump to where that willow is more streamlined. So I don't know if maybe the willow would be better in a clearer condition. And for spookier fish, maybe you'd want to throw something like a willow or something that's not as, you know, just like when you throw topwaters, there'll be a lot of topwaters, but sometimes you got to tune it down because it's too loud. It makes it, you know, then they get real jumpy. So I don't
right.
know. I think that willow would definitely be a more quieter blade. So maybe for you down there in Tampa where it is clearer and you got better conditions at times, maybe that willow would be better. And that's another thing.
I use both. I use.
Yeah. Do you find
a
difference?
Both, you know, it depends. I do the same thing. If it's dirty or water, I'll use the Colorado blade or a bigger willow
right.
leaf. But yeah, if it's you know the water clarity is halfway decent, I'll use the willow leaf. But
right.
yeah, we use, and I can't think of who makes it for the life of me. But I have like a bunch of old bass stuff too that I took. And, you know, put a couple of, instead of using the big puffy skirts on them, I use, you know, just like a curly tail or something, you know, some sort of a jig. And,
mm-hmm.
man, that thing is great. It's awesome. And at pro shops, just in case, you know, I don't know if you like to do this kind of stuff, but you can, like, build your own stuff. You know, they have, like, all the pieces to make your own spinner baits and stuff like that.
And I was gonna say we sell all of that. If you, I don't know if it shows
oh, really?
On the
okay,
website.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know if it shows on the website, but I do sell my arms individually. I think they come in like 3 or 4 packs on the arms. I sell the
oh,
blades,
cool. okay.
the clavets to put them on. Yeah, you can
yeah.
build your own. We also have inline. We do a buzz bait, and then we do inline spinner and buzz baits. And those two, all those parts, we sell them separately because a lot of guys. You know, they do get beat up. I don't care no matter how well I'll tell you they're great. You fish them hard and fish them. I mean, anything is going to take its abuse between the salt water
yeah.
and the fish. So, yeah, I do sell pieces, too. You can buy my arms and the blades, whatever you want. Yep, you can build your own. And I mentioned
awesome.
Earlier, well, I think I talked to Chuck about this, is if you're going to get into spinnerbaits, and I don't know if anybody out there listening is thinking about them, you definitely want to find one that you can, in the saltwater world anyway, you know the bass ones, your spinnerbait, your R-bend, that's the arm, is permanently attached to the jig head, and then you just keep changing your plastic or whatever. A lot of them now, even some of our competitors, you want to find the ones that you can change that jig head off so you're not having to retie. Ours comes with a split ring, and then some of them have like the safety pin style so you can take that jig head off. So it makes it a lot quicker than retying. You can just quickly change that jig head if you need to get shallower or deeper. And like myself, I'll put a couple of different jig heads with the plastics already on it in the kayak. And then if I feel like they're not, you know, instead of tearing up plastic, taking it on, putting it off the hook, I just change the whole jig head and plastic ensemble and throw that back out there. So it makes it a little, you know, chewing up your plastics every time you're taking them on and off the hook to find the color they want.
Cool.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, it's funny that you were talking about the lateral lines and the whole thing with the blades and whatnot. That's why I fish the paddle tails as much as I do. I find in our gin clear water when we do have it in the wintertime, in early spring, and Aaron, I see Aaron's in the chat room there. He can attest to this. A lot of times when we're fishing tail and fish, if you run a paddle tail bait past the tailing fish, a lot of times they'll come off the tail to chase the damn thing down. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen because you can't do that with a shrimp and you can't do that with just a regular jerk bait. They don't feel it. There's nothing to really say, hey, come over here and check me out, you know. So paddle tails have always been one of those for me that's definitely a go-to bait, and for that reason. And even, too, also in the dirty water, as you said, for throwing blind cast and search baiting, or even just throwing to a pot of fish you know is there, but you can't really see them and they can't see you, they'll find that bait just by the pure vibration off the tail. So that's really cool, man. What else are you involved in? I know that you're like pro staff galore. Who else do you pro staff for?
Well, my major and biggest, I would have to say, is Native Watercraft. I paddle for Native and have for a few years. I think I'm going on my fourth or fifth year for Native now.
Nice.
Daiwa endorsed on my guide on my guiding. So that's probably my second biggest, and very fond of that one because I was the first Daiwa endorsed kayak. Well, I'm stumbling all myself. So first kayak guide that Daiwa had was. So that was pretty exciting when I got picked up for that.
Oh man, that's awesome.
And I got, that was pretty cool. That was definitely pretty cool to get that one. Columbia, pro staff on Columbia through Hook One. Hook Ones have been a great sponsor help for me. So I'm on the Hook One team along with Mr. Choi there that's in the chat room. Made of Marshworks, obviously. Yak Attack, all Luther stuff. Are you guys familiar with Luther and
absolutely
all the accessories that he does? So, that's another one I'm definitely tied in with very well. So it's been a lot of work. I was fortunate that when I started in this, when it was still kind of growing, so to speak, to where now, and I always tell the story back home in Virginia where I'm from, is I used to be able to tell who was on the water in their kayak just by the way it was rigged and the color in the distance. I could be, oh, that's yellow, that's Bob, whatever. Now I just wave. I mean, there's so many kayaks out there now. I just, hey, what's going on, So it's definitely grown by leaps and bounds since when we started in it anyway, in our region. I don't know down here how long. I think it's probably been around a little longer, a little more.
Yeah,
it's a sexy sport down here because you got the weather is longer for you down here probably. So,
yeah, it's kind of crazy, man. I don't think it really started taking off on my coast until probably about 5 or 10 years ago. About 5 or 6 years ago is when you really started to see the boom. And now, God, you can't drive over a causeway and look left or right and not see at least a half a dozen kayakers, it seems, in any direction on a weekend. During the week, you'll see one or two here and there, but we've got a ton of them, man. The flotilla is definitely out here. So it's cool, man. I'm all about promoting the sport, and that's, one of the reasons why I was really happy that Chip gave me an opportunity to do this show and, getting involved with yakangler.com and some of the other things that I do. It's all about, helping to promote the sport and make it bigger and bigger. I'm a firm believer that what we're doing is the future of inshore fishing. I don't think the flats boats have a long life, man. As far as being able to run shallow, run this and run that and do what they want to do. We're starting to see some of those regulations starting to pop up here, here and there, not as thick as I think it will be, but there's a lot more no motor zones, pole and troll only zones and that kind of thing popping up all over the state. So, it's definitely, a good thing, but, cool.
I sold my boat just to get skinny, so to speak. Not
yeah.
me myself, but my fishing anyway. But yeah, I sold. I had a center console I fished out of religiously, and I wanted to get into something different, and I got rid of. I actually owned the boat and the kayak at the same time, and the boat sat in the driveway, and I kept, the kayak was so much easier, and I could go fish and didn't have to take a buddy to help me pay for gas, and you don't have to worry when you get back that you got to flush a motor and wash all the salt off of it, you just. I always tell everybody, if it rains, my kayaks get washed. If it doesn't rain, well, I guess they're not getting washed. So, it's just kind of let it go. The plastic's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I gotcha. Hey, do you have any, have you had any experience with any of the new Daiwa reels? Any, like, the ballistic or, what's the other one? An Arid, I think, is another one. I was looking at
them.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead. So you can go. I actually was met up with the Daiwa rep this weekend up there in Jax when I was at a strike zone, and he was showing me some of the newer stuff. I haven't not got to use any. I've had my hands on them, but no, I haven't. Go ahead. You can go ahead and say what you were going to say.
Oh, yeah, because I was at the Henry show down here in Orlando and walked through the booth, and some of the Daiwa stuff kind of popped out at me, and I was just curious to know what your thoughts are. On the new products as opposed to the older stuff. I've got a couple of the Daiwa Tierras. I have I've got a 25, I think, a 2500, I believe, a 3000, a 4000, and they're great reels, man. Air bail system, the whole bit. Everybody pretty much knows that I'm pretty diehard Shimano, but I've got a lot of other stuff too that I fish, just because I need to get it out and try it. I mean, it's one of those things. To me, fishing reels are like guns. You know, they don't do you any good just sitting in a box. You got to take them out every now and again and give them a little bit of love and let them get their chance on the water. So, but no, I've always preferred the Daiwa line over the others, with the exception of the Shimano line for me personally. But definitely it's my number two go-to company to if I was going to go out and look for a reel that's not a Shimano product, the Daiwa line has actually in the last few years been really impressive. So I don't know if anybody's out there that's looking for, possibly to purchase new reels, but, take a look at the new stuff coming from Daiwa. It's pretty sick. And I know that everyone wants to go lighter and this, that, and the other, and carbon fiber sounds really cool. And it is. And, you know, it's got its benefits and stuff, but some of the new Daiwa stuff is just as sick. So I've actually got a chance a couple of times to fish with a Steez, and that thing is nasty, man. That is like the coolest reel.
Did you have to take a loan? Did they want a loan from you to use it?
No. I'll tell you what's really funny about that, man. When I worked at the shop I worked at prior to where I'm at now, I had a buddy of mine. He's still a good friend of mine. His name is Frank, and Frank would come in and he was the kind of guy that if it was new, he had to have it, right? It didn't matter what it cost. He never asked the price. It was just like, oh, really? Cool. Give me one. Can you fill it up the line for me? I'm like, yeah, of course I can, you know. But right. We got a couple Steezes in just because of the light weight of it and a couple of the Steez rods as well. And he was like, oh, man, that's really sweet. I need to have one. I'm like, yeah, okay, no problem. I could sell you one of them. It's like the best sale of like the month, right? So
close early.
Yeah, right. Let's just shut it down. We're good for the day. We met what we needed to get to. It's like selling a Stella now for me, you know. But anyhow, so he bought it, fished it, loved it, came back, bought another one, and one day we're out there fishing, just kind of hanging around, and he was like, hey, you want to try it? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I got to throw it a couple times, and I never hooked a fish with it, but man, it was, God, smooth and lightweight. You could tell it had a lot of power. It wasn't a chintzy built piece of equipment that just looked pretty. It was definitely a machine worthy of the price. And you know, that's the thing. The other thing too that I was impressed with from Daiwa, and I know it's not kayak fishing related because it would be entertaining to watch somebody try and use one, but the Tanacom Bulls, the electric reels, the power assist stuff, are actually really, really good electric reels. So, you know, I know I got some listeners that do both kayak fishing and fishing from boats. So, you know, if you're in the market for electric reels too, they're actually really, really efficient, and they're also pretty affordable as far as electric reels go. But that's awesome.
Yeah, when they first came out, I was still working in the industry, and they actually sent, I don't know, three or four, I believe it was, people from the factory that designed it. And they went around to all the shops that were carrying them, and they came in and gave us the tutorial and showed us how to use it so we could, you know, sell their product better, which I thought was pretty – and that's one of the things about Daiwa, if I'm going to get to keep plugging stuff, is that they put a lot of time, energy, and money into that side. You won't see a lot of – and not knocking anybody else by all means – they don't put a lot of money into swag and T-shirts and hats and commercials. They put all their money and time and energy into the product, the research, and to get it out there and to make the product available to the consumer and try to train the people who sell the product, if that makes sense. So they literally sent guys over. They took us out to lunch, and then they, you know, went through the whole, I think at the time there was two of the reels available with a little portable battery pack and all that stuff. And they showed us how it worked and everything, and it was, you know, they wanted to make sure that we knew what we were selling for them. It's because you know that. You work in a tackle shop. It's like going to one of the box stores and you ask somebody in there and they just say, we have it. You know, that's all they can tell you. Yeah, we got it. It costs this much. So
yeah,
you know,
it's over
you want
there.
Somebody you can talk to. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. And it's true. It's very true. If you open up your any of your local publications or even the the national publications. You don't see a whole lot of Daiwa ads and Daiwa this and Daiwa that. It's pretty similar to other companies like Avid and Accurate and some of the others that they're really, really focused on let's build a better product. Let's not worry about having to buy commercial space and stuff. And I get it, man. It makes complete sense to me. I mean, you don't see very
much. It talks for itself in the end.
Yeah, and you don't really see a whole lot of – and that's – you know, but that is the one downside. And it's kind of – wow, theme song music. It's one of those things that that I thought was pretty funny is about some of the other lines is that they every fishing show you watch, the guys are sponsored by the same two or three companies. And it's like – shove down your throat all the time. And I get it. That's the way of the world. It's advertising. It's how they pay their bills. But at the same time, when a customer walks into my store and is like, hey, how's it going? You know, do you have this reel in stock? I saw it on television. You know, the guy on TV is fishing with it. And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't carry it. Well, why don't you carry it? It's crap. Or what, you know, I mean, because there's, listen, and that's part of the thing, too, is that I am brutally honest. And, you know, it's gotten me a lot of respect for being that way, being brutally honest. And I don't know, man. It's just I have a hard time. Just getting a person to walk into the door and then say, hey, you know, yeah, you should buy that reel because so-and-so fishes it on television for the 3 days that he's shooting. But when he's not shooting, he's really using this reel. You know, and
or he's using it in that show because they haven't been selling him, and they're trying to get the sales up.
yeah, it's pretty funny. You're talking about in the chat room using a Daiwa rod with your Shimano reels. It's funny.
My wife being funny because she's got all Shimano reels, and my wife's up there being funny saying all I use is Shimano's. She put a little jab in, but she got a carrot stick she wants to get rid of. So I told her maybe we can get her a Daiwa rod for her Shimano reels.
That's awesome. but yeah, you know, the Daiwa stuff is just it has been impressing me more and more every year, and it's definitely one to check out. I'm on their website right now looking at all their reels.
The Coastal
they have.
Series. If I can recommend anything for our kayaking friends here. Look at the Coastal series. I have three of the Coastal 153H if you're a baitcaster fisherman. I have one that I bought 8 years ago in Key Largo, and I've had it serviced one time.
Wow.
And, I mean, you know how kayaking, it gets dunked, it's gotten, you know, whatever.
And
but
for
all
a
the Coastal
caster,
series are really, they're designed to get wet, and they're designed for saltwater to get wet, if that makes sense. And
yeah,
I have no problem with them. You take them apart every once in a while, clean them like you should. I mean, that's one thing, and you've probably seen this too, working in a tackle shop, is how many people, you know, if you take care of it, it's going to last you. Hose it down when you get home, you know, take care of it the way you should. But in general, that Coastal series has held up for me. Like I said, I literally have one that's 8 years old, a baitcaster, the 153H, and you can definitely splurge and get up to the Zillion series, and then you've got the Mac Daddy. And for any of your guys who do some cobia fishing or anything, the Pluton is another one to look at. Great reel. They tried it. It's geared for inshore. It's similar to for your Shimano, like a Calcutta style reel.
Right.
But it's geared for inshore. But once again, over in Japan, they tested it all on tuna. That's what they. They geared it up for tuna fishing. They were catching 200-pound tuna, and they said, okay, it's good enough. And then they put it in the market. And like I said, it's geared more towards the heavy inshore angler and a lot of guys using for muskies and stuff like that up north. But great reels, too. So
wow, that Zillion's got a 7-to-3 gear ratio.
That's the daddy right there.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, cool, man. That's awesome, man. I appreciate you filling us in on all that information, man. It's awesome. Rob, do you fish any Daiwa stuff, or who are you mainly using as far as your spin gear and stuff?
He's looking in his closet now.
Oh, whatever. Rob's probably got me on mute. That's cool. But let's see, what else did I have to talk about? Oh, I saw something that I thought was pretty cool today. Well, interesting. My buddy.
Hey,
yo.
You got me?
I got you.
I had you muted. I had you muted there. And no, I don't use any Daiwa stuff. I use mostly pen, reel, you know, and some quantum stuff too. But,
yeah.
You know, it's not anything top notch or anything. You know, it does the trick.
Well, I could tell you, too, from experience in the shop, that even the inexpensive Daiwa stuff is really well built. We've got some, what are they? And let me see, I was looking at them earlier. Oh, the good old Sweep Fires, man. Sweep Fires are like the entry level, two ball bearing, you know, nothing fancy. It's just a beater reel. And you buy it just to know that you're going to beat the living tar out of it. And probably replace it soon. But they have drag. I mean, they've got a good amount of drag. I mean, you're talking the 4000's got 13 pounds of drag, which isn't bad for a reel that I think that reel retails for like $19 or something like that. So
yeah, I was going to say, I think it's like $22 or something. Yep.
Yeah, it's really, really inexpensive. And it's still a good piece of equipment for someone that doesn't want to spend a whole bunch of money. But because, you know, we've got all kinds, and working in the shop, you see that. You got guys that just don't really care. They're like, look, man, I'll replace it three times during the year. I just don't want to come out of pocket once for the $125 or, you know, whatever, $99, whatever. I'd rather just spend $20 today and then spend $20 in 2 months or whatever. And, hey, you know, different strokes for different folks. It's cool. That's what makes the world go around. But
yeah, I always like to look at it. Well, I like to cry once and to cry a couple times, you know. So go ahead and take it once and try to beef up your quality or your whatever a little bit, and then know you got something for a while. But I know exactly what you're talking about. They'll keep coming back and buying the same $20 reel, but they already bought the $120 one after a couple trips.
Yeah, it's funny. I've got a buddy of mine that catches a lot of bait. For offshore trips and stuff, so catch a lot of pinfish and a lot of spots and croakers and that kind of thing. And whenever one of his inexpensive reels seizes up, doesn't matter what rod it's on, he just has this tendency to just freak out and throw it over the side of the boat and just let it sink in the ocean. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, I'll buy another one. I'm like, see, you threw it in the ocean? Like,
rod and all, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, it doesn't even make any sense. But whatever, it's funny. One of the things I saw today on my journeys, I saw a Castaway rod. Now, I know that you're not affiliated with them, but just to kind of get on a different subject here, they make a rod that was really interesting to me, and I think it was called the Skeleton Micro Guide or something like that. I don't have any pictures on their website, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but we'll go with it. Or maybe there is, and I just haven't found them yet. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, so the rod has a normal first guide, and welded to that guide is another guide. If that makes any sense, it's the weirdest thing. Yeah, it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It blew my mind, man. I was like, it doesn't make sense to me why you would do that. But at the same time, it's so intriguing that I almost want to get one, you know. Picture this, if you can. Picture a normal spinner rod, single foot, right? Not a double foot guide, single foot guide. And sitting on top of the ring itself of that guide is another guide with like a Chinese star three-pointed steel that attaches it to that first ring. It's crazy, but it's like taking a tip-top guide almost and putting it on top of the first guide to almost shrink down the line to shoot it through other small guides.
You think generated towards all the new, you know, all these Power Pros and all the super lines now because they're smaller in diameter, so you're not getting as much of a, especially in a spinning rod type of setup. So when it's shooting through, are they trying to condense it down so you're not losing so much energy in that bigger eye?
Yeah, you know, that's what that's my original thought was, well, maybe that's why they do it. So it shrinks it down so that it maintains a high velocity so it flies further. But
right.
Why would you even put the big guide on it? Like, why do you even have
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, because it literally goes from, I don't know the ring size of this particular guide, but a standard 7-foot medium action spinner rod, single foot, you can all kind of picture the size of that first guide. It goes from that size of a ring down to like a typical second guide down off the tip top. And
wow. What is that? Castaway rods, you said?
Yeah, in less than an inch. In less than an inch of height off the top of that guide. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And I even asked my buddy, I was like, did you make this? Like, did you weld that there? Because I couldn't wrap my head around it. It didn't make any sense to me. I was like, what in the world am I looking at, you know? But I don't know. Maybe it's a gimmick. Maybe it's just a gimmicky kind of thing. Maybe it really works. I don't know. I haven't thrown it. And I can't.
Yeah.
I can't knock it until I try it, as they say. But it's just, wow, man, it just blew my mind. Like, all day long, I've been trying to figure it out. I'm like, it doesn't make sense. Like, why?
Yeah, I know a lot of companies are changing like their bait casting rods and making the eyes all the way throughout smaller than you typically saw because of that same thing, because of the people using the smaller braids now, the smaller super lines or whatever, so they don't need so much. You don't need as much eye because you're not putting heavier line through there anymore. So,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, definitely something to look at. It was, I don't know, at all the tackle shows I've been to, man, I've never seen it. I never noticed that rod before, and I hadn't heard of it until I saw it today, and it was just, I don't know, crazy.
Wow.
Absolutely crazy. Yeah, crazy stuff. But what else was, I went down to see Richard down at Harry Goods down in Melbourne, for those of you that might be local to me. Harry Goods is probably the longest existing tackle store in the county. I mean, I know they've been there forever. It's a family business. I hadn't been in there for probably 10 years. And I mean, that's a long time for me not to walk into a tackle shop. And it was for no other reason than the fact that I've been living up here, in Titusville. So it's a bit of a drive for me, and it's one of those things, if I'm down that way, I just don't think about going there, but not for any other reason than it's just, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But wow, what an establishment that they're running down there, man. Super clean, super organized. I mean, it was like, I don't know what kind of tackle shops you guys shop at or whatever, but a lot of the ones in this area, with the exception of the one that I'm at, of course, and Strike Zone, of course, and then also to now Harry Goods. A lot of them are just like, there's stuff everywhere. Like, what is that? You know, like, it doesn't make sense. Why did you put hard baits in the center of your soft plastic wall? Like, it does, you know, just craziness. And this is just so well laid out, and it was nice, man. But the fly tying stuff is what got me. I was like, wow, I saw stuff on his walls that I didn't even know even existed. I picked up a goodie bag worth, you know, full of stuff tonight to tie up some stuff. The fish skull. I don't know if any of you guys have ever tied with fish skulls before, but that's
pretty
sweet.
Is that the one from South Africa? Is that the guy that's from South Africa? Do you know?
I met
that guy at a fly fishing show in Virginia. He's a cool dude. Yep, I met that guy.
Rob, have you ever used those fish skulls?
No. What is it?
It's like, I want to say it's made out of aluminum. It feels like it is, but it looks like a little fish head. I'll try and get a link posted in the room here without losing my mind trying to find it. But it's a great addition to a fly to kind of give it a little bit more, appeal maybe.
Having a jig head on your fly.
Yeah, it's almost like having a jig head on your fly. It gives it like that extra, that little
like
extra
an eye, sort of like a head or something.
Yeah, well, I'm going to post I'll post a thing on it right now. Hold on. I think so, maybe. No, nope, I just got myself out of the show, I think.
It's not weighted.
Dude, they're so lightweight that it's not going to affect it either way.
Okay, yeah. I think I have seen those. You can make those out of chenille too, I think.
Hold on.
Well, certain, you know, you can make your own.
Go look at his Facebook. It's on his Facebook.
Yeah, it's on my Facebook right now because I tied a fly with it already, just messing around. But let's see. What in the world? Anyway, but yeah, I went down there, I looked at that stuff, and then also too the clear cure goo. I don't know what they call it. It's an epoxy. You use the UV light to cure it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'm not that big on tying. I sling them, but I don't tie them. So
whatever that one is, I bought some of that tonight to try and see how well it worked. I hear, I think I lost my chat room. Yeah, but anyway, I hear that you can cure the epoxy in basically no time whatsoever. I mean, it takes like 5 to 10 seconds to cure the epoxy, so it's pretty cool. But you use a UV light to do so, and man, it's crazy. I know people that have gotten sunburns on their hands from putting their hands too close to the flashlight. So,
wow.
Yeah, definitely something to look at, but be careful when using it. And I can't find a link that'll pull me into that, but whatever. Let's see. Rob, have you used any of that fast curing stuff?
No, but that I've seen it before. I know what you're talking about, and it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome stuff. It dries like immediately, and it's that's even faster than 5 minute epoxy or whatever you want to use there. But as far as stuff like that goes, I use, for those type of applications, epoxy, and I use Fletch-Tite, if you've ever heard of that. It's a fletching adhesive that you use for mounting antlers and stuff like that for hunters. But a guy down at Bill Jackson's turned me on to that, and I use it. I don't have that much problem, as far as bubbles. Bubbles are always a concern. It doesn't really bother me that much. You get a couple of little ones in there, but Fletch-Tite to me is the way to go, man. It dries really fast. Not quite as fast as the UV stuff, but it's fast enough for me. It's faster than two-part epoxy or anything like that. And it's pretty tough, too. And it doesn't yellow.
Yeah, there you go. That's the other thing, too. There was one company of the epoxy quick drying stuff that does yellow that my buddy was telling me about. And he said that one of the problems, too, is that when he was tying flies and building heads with it, if he would bounce a fly off a dock or, get close to a seawall or something, and you hit either a dock or a seawall with the fly itself, it would actually shatter the head and the head would fall apart. So,
wow.
No kidding.
Yeah, so that's not good. So I said, okay, well, don't sell me that one. Sell me the one that works. So, but no, it's I'm pretty excited about it, man, honestly. I'm going to do I'll do a write-up on it for Yak Angler, believe it or not. I'm actually going to write something. But, it's cool, man. I'm super excited about it.
Try the Fletch-Tite. I use it like on key style flies, anything where you need some sort of a quick. I use it on the Location X floaty flies, most tarpon flies. I'm going to use some, because I've tried epoxy and stuff, and it's just a pain, man. you know, you got to wait for it to dry, and then sometimes you get the what I like to call hangers on there, where they're, you know, those things, you know, sometimes it won't dry straight, you know, it'll kind of develop a sag to it or a hanger, and yeah, that stuff doesn't do that. It like immediately the outside, it develops a hard coat on it, and it's really good stuff, man. So give it a shot, man, if you're looking for something like that. If you don't want to spend the bucks on the UV thing, that's kind of a little bit on the expensive side, pricey side.
Yeah, it wasn't cheap, but I think it's actually called Clear Cure Goo. I think is what it was that I got today. I'm not real sure. It's out in the living room. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Now I'm looking at their Facebook page. Clear Cure Goo. There you go. So if your fly tire's out there and you want to build epoxy heads and not have to wait 5 days for the thing to dry, or use 2-minute epoxy or 5-minute epoxy and it's a mess, the Clear Cure is really cool stuff. I mean, literally, it comes with an applicator. You put it on, you hit it with the flashlight for like 5 to 10 seconds, and it's done. So, yeah, there you go. This is like the product showcase tonight. This is the Redfish Chuck product review evening.
There you go.
Kind of crazy. I posted a picture or a link to the picture of that fly that I tied earlier in the website. I don't know if anybody else. I mean, in the chat room, so I don't know if anybody else is friends with me on Facebook, but if you are, you can click that link and see the fly. The fly is not very impressive, but the head is cool, so that's the whole point. But anyhow, let's see. Scuba Stan says, when tying flies, is a really expensive vice matter?
No.
Well, yeah. No, it does not matter. However, I'm friends with the Renzetti people, so I'm going to say this. Renzetti vices are extremely nice, and they are great pieces of equipment, and if you can afford one, buy one. However, what I'm tying on right now and what I've tied all my flies on is a clamp-on style $49.95 rotary vise, and it does just fine. And I've tied everything from flies on number 14 rainbow trout hooks all the way up to I think the biggest fly I've tied yet was on an 8-0 extra strong owner for cobia and giant tarpon. So, you know, there you go.
I don't have a clip. My vise, I don't have the clip on. It's the screw on, and sometimes I have to use pliers to really get it, you know, tightened down where it'll actually hold the hook tight. But that's about the only downfall of my vise, and I have like a $59 vise too. But it is a rotating vise. Here's the big advice. You know, if you can afford something like a Renzetti or something nice, by all means, that's the way to go. Make sure you get a rotating vise. But if you're on a budget and everything, there are cheaper vises. Now, I wouldn't go buy a $15 vise. They have those fly tying kits, like the starter kits with all the thread and the flies and the bobbin and everything. You kind of want to steer clear of that, because that's really hard to, those are hard to deal with there, man. And it just doesn't last very long. You're going to strip that screw out and have a hard time with it. So if you can't afford a higher end vise, that's good. But if you can't, try one. Make sure it's a rotary vise.
That's one of the
biggest, big time, man. You'll thank everybody that's ever told you that. So make sure that you use that. Get one of those. I love tying flies, man. It's very creative. It's a creative outlet, man, and it's cool. It's really cool when you can catch a fish on a fly that you tied yourself.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I'll tell you what, it's funny, because we were talking about it today, me and a buddy of mine, because he doesn't tie flies, but he does throw flies, like Mark does. And he asked me, you know, why'd you get into it? How'd you get into it? Why are you so crazy about it? Whatever. And I'm like, look, man, with having kids, young kids in the house, I don't really get a lot of time to get away and just go fish like I used to. So it's a way for me to still kind of keep that, I guess the juices flowing, so to speak, and really kind of find something new, you know. And like you said, it's a way you can be creative and you can kind of come up with something that at first might look like a cockroach and it's supposed to look like a shrimp. And or, you know, you put together something that doesn't look like anything that resembles anything in nature, but a fish eats it. And it's a satisfaction thing for me. I'm able to sit down at the bench and tie something and I guess just relax and just kind of get into that moment. And it sounds really weird. One of my buddies, he's a local guide here. He makes fun of me all the time. He's like, oh, yeah, you tie your own flies. You probably drink Yingling beer and smoke cigars, too. And I'm like, what's that got to do with anything? And he's just, I don't know, man. It just seems like everybody I know that ties flies smokes cigars and drinks Yingling beer all the time. And I'm like, I don't know, man. But it's definitely
You should have said, yeah, and.
Yeah, right? There's nothing wrong with Yingling. I love it. But however, the unofficial beer sponsor for the Kayak Fishing Radio Show for Redfish Chuck is the Florida Beer Company. Plug. But there you go. So, no, it's fun. If you haven't done it, get involved with it. It's cool. It's not too terribly expensive to get into if you do it right.
It is eventually, you know. You always start off, you go, well, you know, I just want to make some clousers and some deceivers. So, you know, I'll get a bag of bucktail and I'll get a bag of some deceiver hackle and you know, some thread and, you know, some dumbbell weights and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the next thing you know, you're going to buy fly tying gear, like, every paycheck, you know, and see, oh, yeah, I need to get some slinky fiber, and I need some EP fibers, and I need, you know, and it's just it's an ongoing thing. Next thing you know, you got one of those Tupperware bins full of stuff.
Tupperware. A Tupperware bin? Dude, let me tell you something. My wife, I'm surprised she hasn't, like, I don't know, just thrown it all in a trash can. I've got 4 Tupperware bins and 5 tackle trays slap full of fly tying stuff. It's stupid, man. But anyhow, listen, I'm up to my hour, and apparently the lady on the other line is telling me that I have 90 seconds left. So real quick, I'm going to run through. Thank you, everybody, for being involved with the show tonight. Alex and D.D. Olson, and I got a couple guests in there, John, Mark Lozier, Rob Choi, Aaron. I've got Mr. Lozier's better half in the chat room as well. I appreciate everybody joining me, and Mark, thanks for calling, man. I appreciate all the information.
Well, thanks for having me.
No, absolutely. Please, every week you're more than welcome to call in, man. And Rob, thanks for being with me, as always, on the show. Check me out at Facebook. If you're not a friend of mine, be my friend. Tell your friends to be my friend. I appreciate it. ChucksKayakAdventures.com, ChucksKayakAdventures@hotmail.com for all your questions. I am your host, Redfish Chuck, also known, Charles Levi Jr., also known as Redfish Chuck. Feel free to get a hold of me. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for all the love and support. And hey, let's get out there and get our lines tight. Take it easy.
Take care.